Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Welcome to the Tech Meme Ride Home for Friday, September 21st, 2018. I'm Brian McCullough. Today, more fallout from that monster Alexa event yesterday. Facebook is going to take another swing at Portal. Instagram is looking to cut down on hashtag overload. Gmail was too willing to say I love you. And the weekend long reads suggestions. Here's what you missed today in the world of tech. So I don't know if you got the sense yesterday, but that Amazon event really kind of took us all by surprise a bit. It was like yesterday morning. Okay, Amazon event, they'll probably announce refreshed Echo speakers, no big deal. But then, I mean, that was an event. So many products, like five product launch events all in one. So essentially yesterday I was giving you the hardware announcements, but there are lots of little details here still trickling out, especially on the software side. So let's round up a few of them and see if we can see what it all means. First, Amazon introduced Alexa Presentation Language, or APL, a design language for building Alexa skills for devices with screens. So, devs, you can now get busy not only with the Echo Show, but other Alexa-enabled screen devices like Fire TV, Fire Tablet, etc. And not only that, any third-party devices with screens can use APL through the Alexa Smart Screen and TV Device SDK, which is apparently coming in a few months. This is also potentially a big deal, but we'll have to wait and see because in practice, you know, when Apple or somebody announces something like this, it tends not to work out in real life the way they demo it. But Amazon also announced what it is calling Wi-Fi Simple Setup to automatically share your home wireless network credentials with compatible smart home devices. See, Amazon is smart enough to know that if it really does want you to fill your home up with dozens of smart gadgets, then they want to help you avoid the password hell that you would have to go through, not only when setting them all up, but every time one of them flaked out. Like, forget charging out light bulbs every so often or batteries on smoke alarms every few months. Imagine having to get 18 different smart gadgets re-recognized on your network every time the Wi-Fi went down. I had this yesterday too, but cut it for time. Alexa is getting a lot of new stuff around context. Quote, we're going beyond recognizing words, Rohit Prasad, the vice president who heads work on the artificial intelligence inside Alexa, told Wired. In essence, you can now whisper to Alexa and she'll whisper back. The company demoed a command like, Alexa, play a lullaby, which you can even say at a whisper, and Alexa will comply at an appropriately soft volume. This was announced along with new additions to the Free Time for Kids program on Alexa, which now includes routines. If you set it up within the Alexa app, if you say something like, Alexa, it's bedtime, you could have a whole chain of events set in motion, like turning off the lights, then lowering the shades, then playing soft music. This is part and parcel of what Amazon is calling Alexa Hunches. In essence, Alexa is going to start looking for cues and clues in your behavior over time, and then use those to make suggestions based on past experience and its own intuitions. Here's how TechCrunch described it. Quote, for instance, a user might say, good night, Alexa, or Alexa, set an alarm, and Alexa, which has heard these commands daily, will tap into all that behavioral data and follow a hunch. Alexa might respond with something like, hey, I think you left the porch light on. Would you like me to turn it off? This Alexa hunches behavior is still being tested in the lab, but could roll out later this year. No, I did want to point out, as Stacey Higginbotham pointed out in her Internet of Things newsletter, if you don't get that sort of helpful suggestion thing exactly right, it can go pretty annoying pretty fast. Just ask Microsoft. Quote, I do wonder if Alexa's hunches could become the Clippy of the smart home, end quote. Speaking of smart devices with screens to put in your home, Remember how Facebook was reportedly going to release something called Portal, which was a video chat device, hardware, for your home that would even recognize who you were when you were walking into a room and tailor its content to you? But then they decided to shelve it for later after the Cambridge Analytica scandal hit, and people were all like, shall we say, not sure they could trust Facebook with their private lives anymore. Well, Cheddar is reporting that Facebook is finally going to announce these devices next week. They'll come in two screen sizes, retail for around $400 and $300, and will have Alexa support. This little nugget from the Cheddar piece is interesting. Quote, Portal will feature a privacy shutter that can cover the device's wide-angle video camera, which uses artificial intelligence to recognize people in the frame and follow them as they move throughout a room. The shutter was recently developed in response to worsening public trust in the Facebook brand, an effect employees internally refer to as the brand tax, end quote. Yeah, so I'm going to let the snarkerati take it from here. Good old Yoda, Drew Olenoff tweeted, if you buy one of these, I'm questioning your sanity. Lee Drogan tweeted, you want me to put a Facebook video device in my home? Ha 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 ha. And then there was Jason Clint, who tweeted, quote, DOA. I really don't think the Valley or the company or the press fully grasp the decline in trust for this brand. They should white label the product with a brand people trust more, like, say, Equifax. There apparently are a whole ton of tweaks that are possibly coming to Instagram. Instagram is testing a way for users to reshare posts from other accounts on their own feeds. Quoting Casey Newton on this, the feature, which company executives have long resisted for fear it would corrupt the personal nature of the app, could bring new life to the main feed at a time when it is becoming rapidly eclipsed by ephemeral stories. But if resharing is rolled out to the entire user base, it could also invite in fake news, influence campaigns, and other negative consequences that Instagram parent Facebook has been working to address since the aftermath of the 2016 U.S. presidential election, end quote. Hey, as the previous segment pointed out, even if Facebook knows how to take the temperature of public opinion, that still doesn't mean they'll ever give a damn, especially when they want to go ahead and do a thing anyway. Also, Josh Constein is reporting that Instagram may also divide hashtags from captions in an effort to curb oversharing. The feature is still being tested, but in essence, it would be a hashtag selector. Quote, disambiguating hashtags from captions could make adding them to posts less invasive and distracting and thereby get more users doing it. That could, in turn, help Instagram tune its feed algorithm to show you more posts with hashtags you seem to care about, get more users following hashtags, and allow it to better sort the Explore page with its new topic channels like sports, beauty, and shopping. But perhaps more importantly, it could just make Instagram less annoying. Everyone has that friend that slaps on so many hashtags that their captions become an incoherent mess, end quote. Constein notes that Instagram is also testing like crazy, including geofenced posts, if you want your posts to only reach specific areas, stories, stickers, quiz stickers, and the recently confirmed additions of GIFs, indirect messages, and video tagging.
How do you make a password that's strong enough so no one will guess it, and it's impossible for you to forget, and do it for 100 different sites, and make it so everyone in your company can do the same without ever needing to reset them? Sounds impossible unless you have 1Password. More than any other product I've ever told you about, I can vouch 1,000% for 1Password. I can't live without it. 1Password makes strong security easy for your people and gives you the visibility you need to take action when you need to. Any device, any time, 1Password lets you securely switch between iPhone, Android, Mac, and PC with convenient features like autofill for quick sign-ins. All you have to remember is the one strong account password that protects everything else. Your logins, your credit cards, secure notes, or the office Wi-Fi password. 1Password's award-winning password manager is trusted by millions of users and over 100,000 businesses from IBM to Slack. It beat out 40 other options to become Wirecutter's top pick for password managers. Right now, my listeners get a free 2-week trial at onepassword.com/ride for your growing business. That's 2 free weeks at onepassword.com/ride. Don't let security slow your business down. Go to onepassword.com/ride. When you go through airport security, there's one line where the TSA agent checks your ID and another line where a machine scans your bag. The same thing happens in enterprise security, but instead of passengers and luggage, it's end users and their devices. These days, most companies are pretty good at the first part of the equation where they check user identity. But user devices can roll right through authentication without getting inspected at all. In fact, 47% of companies allow unmanaged, untrusted devices to access their data. That means an employee can log in from a laptop that has its firewall turned off and hasn't been updated in 6 months. Or worse, that laptop might belong to a bad actor using employee credentials. Collide finally solves the device trust problem. Collide ensures that no device can log into your Okta-protected apps unless it passes your security checks. Plus, you can use Collide on devices without MDM, like your Linux fleet, contractor devices, and every BYOD phone and laptop in your company. Visit collide.com/ride to watch a demo and see how it all works. That's KOLIDE.com/ride, collide.com/ride.
Speaking of new features, if you're a regular Gmail user, you might have seen an increasingly prominent feature called Smart Replies. Gmail scans your email, and then when it's time to respond, thinks of what your response might be if it doesn't require more than a, say, cool, see you there, or something short and spiffy like that. And then it suggests those as quick responses. Quick responses have been rolled out at this point to all 1.4 billion Gmail accounts, and Google claims that they now account for 10% of all Gmail responses. The Wall Street Journal looks at how the feature uses artificial intelligence and an ever-growing library of responses that Google has identified by analyzing billions of messages. Two funny anecdotes from the early testing. The algorithm kept trying to identify the phrase "sent from my iPhone" as a popular response in emails. And the system had a bad habit of responding "I love you" more often than it should have. Both prompted algorithm tweaks, of course, because you don't want to respond to your boss "I love you," even if you do. But the Smart Replies feature has proven annoying and controversial to some, so Google will soon give desktop users the option to turn off Smart Replies in the coming weeks. If you use the Gmail app on your phone, you already have the ability to turn the feature off. But frankly, I think that they're actually pretty useful for the type of messages where one or two words are sufficient. And if the algorithm does get it wrong, or if the tone of the suggested response is off, you can always just, you know, ignore them? Finally today, these are the weekend long reads brought to you by Betterment, the largest independent online financial advisor. Check them out if you haven't done so. The word better is in the name. Sometimes life leaves you funny little clues like that. Better investment, better mint, you get it. First up, Facebook swears up and down that it is pulling out all the stops to make sure the upcoming midterm elections don't get messed with on their platforms. So the New York Times takes a peek inside the so-called election war room at Facebook to see what steps they're actually taking. Quote, although it is not much to look at now, as of next week, the space will be Facebook's headquarters for safeguarding elections. More than 300 people across the company are working on the initiative, but the war room will house a team of about 20 focused on rooting out disinformation, monitoring false news, and deleting fake accounts that may be trying to influence voters before elections in the United States, Brazil, and other countries, end quote. Facebook's Sameed Chakrabarty calls it the biggest company-wide reorientation since the shift from desktops to focusing on mobile. Also from the New York Times, and there's been a couple of these, I might have even posted one of these before, but here's another look at the Bitcoin miners that are flocking to rural areas that happen to have cheap electricity for one accidental reason of geography or history or another. In this case, a remote corner of New York State. It's an interesting story of old industry versus new, coastal versus rural, tech versus tradition. Quote, Messina, New York. The hulking aluminum plant in this northern border town is starting to spew heat and noise again 4 years after Alcoa shut it down. But now the hot hum comes from thousands of Chinese computer servers whirring away 24 hours a day for a very modern purpose, producing bitcoins and other digital currencies. The crackerjack-sized machines stacked inside rusty cargo containers are powered by the same cheap source of electricity once used to extract aluminum from ore. They represent the first stage of an obscure company's plan to convert the 60-year-old smelting works into the world's biggest cryptocurrency mine, end quote. And I think I've posted a couple times profiles of e-gamers as well, but ESPN, the magazine, has a lengthy profile up of Tyler Ninja Blevins, perhaps e-gaming's first true breakout crossover star, the Tony Hawk of the Fortnite crowd, if you will. This is the dude that played Drake on Fortnite on Twitch back in March. Quote, every day people tune in by the hundreds of thousands to watch him play, and he's making bank doing it. The most commonly reported figure is $500,000 a month. Blevins suggests the number is closer to seven figures. Off subscriptions alone, Blevins makes an estimated $300,000 a month. That's not factoring in his sponsorships, which include Samsung, Red Bull, and Uber Eats, or the revenue from YouTube, Instagram, and other sites, end quote. And I've been saving this one for you design nerds out there, a brief history of the numeric keypad. Quote, picture the keypad of a telephone and calculator side by side. Can you see the subtle difference between the two without resorting to your smartphone? Don't worry if you can't recall the design. Most of us are so used to accepting the common interfaces that we tend to overlook the calculator's inverted key sequence. A calculator has the 7, 8, 9 buttons at the top, whereas the phone uses the 1, 2, 3 format. Subtle, but puzzling since they serve the same functional goal, input numbers. There's no logical reason for the inversion if a user operates the interface in the same way. Common sense suggests the reason should be technological constraints. Maybe it's due to a patent battle between the inventors. Some people may theorize it's ergonomics, end quote. Well, this piece tries to give you an answer. If, like me, you geek out on stories like why we're stuck with QWERTY keyboards due to old holdover decisions from typewriter days, then this story is right up your alley. And finally, a book excerpt and a long read suggestion combo. Christine Lagario-Chafkin has a new book coming out called We Are the Nerds, The Birth and Tumultuous Life of Reddit, the Internet's Culture Laboratory. The book tells the story of Reddit, and Inc. magazine has a great excerpt from the book that makes for a cool long read, so I've got a link to that. But if you wanted to give the book a try, I've also linked to the book. It's an Amazon affiliate link. So if you read the article and decide to go for the book, click through on the link in the show notes and the pod will get a couple shekels. That's all for the weekend long reads brought to you by Betterment. Investment involves risk, of course, but TechMeme Ride Home listeners can get up to 1 year of their investment money managed for free. Just go to betterment.com/ride. That's betterment.com/ride. Betterment, outsmart average. That's all for today, everybody. As always, it's Friday, so the weekend music is playing. Hey, if you're listening to me right now on this podcast and you haven't actually hit the subscribe button for this podcast, how are you living your life, man? If you subscribe, you're guaranteed to get the shows delivered every day. And even if you miss listening one day, they'll be there waiting for you, ready to binge on a Saturday or Sunday to catch up on what you might have missed. Maybe a long trip to the gym, maybe a walk with the dog. Hit the subscribe button, everybody. Talk to you on Monday.
A, B, C. A, always, B, B, C, closing. Always be closing. Always be closing. AIDA, attention, interest, decision, action. Attention, do I have your attention? Interest, are you interested? I know you are, because it's or walk. You close or you hit the bricks. Decision, have you made your decision for Christ? And action. AIDA, get out there. You got the prospects coming in. You think they came in to get out of the rain? A guy don't walk on the lot lest he wants to buy. They're sitting out there waiting to give you their money. Are you-